Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast, Hot Takes Edition.
Blame no one. Make no excuses. Do something.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is the Unconquered Podcast, Hot Takes Edition. Brought to you, as always, by Luis Marquez of Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville and Garage Makeovers, the number one rated garage remodeling company down in Broward and Palm Beach counties. Recording this Hot Takes podcast at halftime. I got a text message not long ago from a former teammate down at Florida State saying, you know, you should just go ahead and record your podcast now at halftime. And I started laughing at that. And he said, you know, you should just say, folks, I'm not staying up to react to any more of this performance. And when I started thinking about that, you know, he's right. I've got some housework to do. I can keep the game on, and I will. I mean, I'm going to have to break more of this down later in the week and trudge through another film session review of this. But what a mess. This is not the way that any Florida State game should ever look. All you have to do, Corey Simon put out a tweet just before the half that I think basically sums up the view of a lot of players right now, a lot of former players, a lot of people who put a lot of sweat and blood into this program, saying the thing that is most upsetting about this team is it isn't even a fight. They get knocked out in the first round. Pitiful. And there are other players I know right now, because I'm getting some of their texts, that former players, that is. There are other former players who are saying, man, I wish I could, you know, I wish I could say what I think right now, but if I tweet about this, it'll be disloyal to the program or whatever. I mean, guys are really not happy with what they're seeing, and for good reason. Let's be real. This product is not what Florida State should be putting on the field at any point. And I know Willie Taggart himself would agree with everything I just said. I know that the coaches on the coaching staff that I know would agree with everything I just said. So it's not like this is controversial or that I'm blasting them in some way that you know, they wouldn't be saying themselves. Right now what we just saw in the first half is not an acceptable performance, and there's no way around that. And of course, Taggart went with Francois in the first half, and Francois actually didn't play badly. That first interception that set up the easy touchdown to start the game was really not on him. That was on McKitty, not squeezing the melon there, not squeezing the football the way that he should have. But this offense did a lot of going sideways, a lot of horizontal in the first half. Didn't get vertical all that much. You had the one slot fade to Nooney Murray that was a 40-yarder. But at the half, your Tamorian Terry deep ball counter, which to me needs to be 5+ every game minimum. So you should be in the 2-3 range in the first half. Is it 0? That's not going to cut it. I did like that I saw them go under center in some short yardage. I liked that they worked some defensive linemen into the backfield, basically mimicking Clemson in terms of the big man package, an elephant package in short yardage. That can help solve some things. Getting creative there, good. Of course, you wonder why that stuff wasn't in earlier. But good for Walt Bell and Taggart adding that stuff. Akers had a nice touchdown run out of the Wildcat, encouraging. So, you know, some positive things, a few. George Campbell with two catches, one of which was a really tough catch for all of 1 yard, but got the first down. Great to see him back out there and reasonably healthy. He's been hurt all year. And then you have the defense. And what is there to say? I mean, they are allowing Notre Dame to dictate what matchups they want. And so Notre Dame can basically declare who's going to make the catch and what they're going to do. Notre Dame can basically, lining up, you know who's going to score. You know who's going to make the catch when they line up. You know this. You cover their top wide receiver, Boykin, in one-on-one coverage with your safety, Hamza Nasiruddin, and I get it. I mean, he does move really well for a safety, and he's got a lot more height than the corners that you're able to put out there that can play. But as soon as he's lined up one-on-one there, you know that that's where they're going, and that's going to be a touchdown. And beyond that, basically the entire second quarter basically amounted to Notre Dame locating wherever 19 was and saying, all right, we're going there and we're going to get a first down or a touchdown. And, you know, I hate to see that because, I mean, the kid has been a really hard worker. He's made some plays at Florida State. He's been a good free safety, you know, middle of the field type guy at times, but he can't cover one-on-one. And when you're asking him to cover one-on-one, you're going to give up touchdowns. There is nothing you can do about that. You're asking that kid to do something he can't do. He can't cover one-on-one. And if you let them match up, create that matchup, you know you're going to get beat 80% of the time by Notre Dame's personnel there. If you allow them to dictate that matchup, lining up somebody in one-on-one coverage against AJ Westbrook, it's going to be bad for you. You know this. And they consistently allowed that to happen over and over again in the first half. One of the keys to playing quality defense when you don't have all the pieces that you want is you have to find ways to hide your weaknesses. You can't allow other teams to locate it. And then without any real effort, not even with any motion or any sort of funky formations, to just dictate what matchups they get. And to say, we're going to get this matchup and we're going to use it and we're going to beat you on it. You can't do that. And then on the long run, those of you who've watched the film session, those film sessions on Patreon know full well that Florida State has been gashed multiple times whenever they've used that same double-A blitz where they take the defensive tackles and they move each defensive tackle into the B gaps, the gap between the guard and the tackle, and blitz the two linebackers into the A gaps, the gaps between the center and the guard. Problem is, you can't do that if your linebackers can't play. You can't do that if your linebackers are soft. You can't do that if your linebacker is going to get mashed by the center and the other one's going to get lost as he's getting up in there, maybe getting mashed by the lead blocker. You do that, you're going to pay. And that was the long run, straight up the gut, because there's no the best thing you've got on your defense is those defensive tackles, and they've yet to really do a whole lot in terms of producing pressure out of that double-A blitz. Shelf it. Put it on the shelf until you have personnel that can reliably run it. Just play sound defense with those defensive tackles trying to eat. And given what you've got in the secondary, you're going to have to go against your philosophy a little bit and two gap at least one of those defensive tackles just so you can gain a gap. So that you can't allow less of a matchup mismatch. You can't let them declare those mismatches in the secondary. So that means you have to make a little bit of a change up front. And I know that's not what you want to do, but you know, if you're playing to win, that's what you do. But again, starting DeAndre Francois in this game and several other things at this point, it's not clear that they are playing to win. So, and then you have the special team stuff, and I'm not even going to get into that. Now, I mean, I will say the block kick, they are right. That should have been a 15-yarder. Should have been a penalty for hitting the snapper, but still, we'll just go ahead and wrap there. This will be enough of a scorching hot take for this game, and I think we can rest here. Second half's about to start, and I've got some housework to do, so.
As always, want to thank my sponsors, Louis Marquez of Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville, Florida, and Garage Makeovers, the top-rated garage remodeling company in South Florida. I also want to thank the supporters from Patreon who are above the Secure the Bag level. That would be Hector Cartagena, Dan Alvarez, Keith Cheney, Neil Cook, and Bert Bertoldi. Thank you all for your generosity. Definitely helps keep this going and helps make those film sessions possible. Many thanks to all of you.
This has been the Unconquered Podcast, Scorching Hot Takes Edition. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Thanks for listening.
Thank you all very much, and have a great day if you want to.
I made this.